At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
This show is brought to you by Safety FM.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Safety FM Mini with Jay Allard. I hope everything is good and grand inside of your neck of the woods. So listen, we're going to have to talk real quick because we got a little bit of time before we get everything started. So last week we had a speech that took place at the ACFS Safety Day that occurred in Orlando, Florida back last month. Or matter of fact, it was this month now that I'm trying to think about it. So it occurred this month during Safety Day, and we had Matthew Law do his presentation. Now, this is the follow-up interview that I did with him right after he came off the stage. So if you can hang back for a moment, take a listen to what's going on, because this is kind of an important conversation when we start talking about it, because he's talking about safety and AI. So I want you to hear on how these two worlds come together. So if you hang out for just one moment, let's get this interview started with Dr. Matthew Law here on Safety FM with Jay Allen. So talk to me. You just came off the stage. You were definitely doing your thing there.
I was doing my thing.
So here's my question. When you come off and you start talking about safety and you're talking about artificial intelligence, how does it go? I mean, so here's the thing. I'm not sure if we're getting the presentations or not. So the audience is listening. We don't know if they're going to know exactly what you just talked about. So give them a little overview and then we'll go into it.
So the overview to the presentation, this is a discussion about the basics of artificial intelligence at a very elementary level. The goal is to get everybody to understand what artificial intelligence is, what it could do, what the prospective applications are for safety in the future, and then how can we brainstorm how AI could be applied in safety in our jobs every day.
So as you look at that, because this is going to be concepts that we're starting to talk about now in regards of, and let's go date. It's October 15, 2024. But this way, if somebody listens to this in the future, they can see the changes in technology that's out there. So what drove you to start looking into this in the first place?
That's actually kind of a long story. I was asked to look into AI and safety, and I just got totally sucked into it.
I can't imagine it's a difficult thing not to be sucked into. So when you started taking a look at it, did you start looking at prompts? Was that what drove you immediately when you started looking into AI? Like, were you looking at the GPTs of the world, or were you looking at something entirely different as you started out?
I honestly was looking at the market. Obviously, I work a lot, do a lot of market research into a lot of different solutions, whether it be products or software in general. And I wanted to know, okay, as far as the market is concerned, where is AI development for safety going to go in the future? And that's really what I chased. But what I had to understand first was, what is AI really? What can it do? And what are the perspective applications? Because from that, I was able to pull, okay, this is where it could go in the future.
So what is your research showing you so far, the things that you found? And if you're doing like some kind of weird case study stuff that you don't want to talk about, I get it. But also at the same time, I'm curious on what are you seeing?
Well, okay, there are a lot of things that we can pull from it. Right now, there are only a handful of real AI applications for safety. One of those things is image and video analysis, or computer vision. This is where an AI model is able to interpret images and videos and provide an output to tell you what are the risks that it sees, what are the hazards, what are the things that need to be changed. That's some really cool stuff. There's only a handful of firms that are out there that are doing it. The other thing that's happening is that some EHS management software developers are augmenting AI onto their platforms. So think about a Microsoft Copilot or any type of AI system that's sort of attached to a search engine. You can attach it onto your EHS management software that's already collecting all this information from your asset management, your incident investigations, your inspections, your SDSs. It can pull that information, that data that just kind of sits there in a lake, and provide you a useful output. So that's really, those are like the two main things. And then think about if it in the near future, it could predict risks. It could tell you about things that you otherwise wouldn't see. And then we're able to use that information to manage our safety better.
So let's talk about some of that stuff. So some of the stuff that you're mentioning that is able to see video and along these lines, if you start taking a look at it from the standpoint of, let's say, for instance, all the old Excel spreadsheets that a company would have, could you dump this into the AI and it acknowledge some of the older stuff, even though it's a different format in regards of what to look into and potentially in the future?
Yeah, absolutely. That's the whole goal, is that we have all of this information sitting in a spreadsheet somewhere or sitting in information management software, whatever it might be. Is the goal is to give it to an AI model to have it analyze that and give us a better output. Now, what I will say with that is that if we give it bad data, or if that AI model is trained incorrectly, we're going to get a bad output from that. This is a great tool. It's going to make us more efficient. It's going to make us better, but we have to already be doing the right stuff, because it's not going to fix what's inherently bad.
So let me ask the strange question here. So you're talking about, I mean, like the traditional garbage in, garbage out. As you take a look at this, let's say, for instance, old school style, where I'm not saying everybody did it, but some people might have pencil whipped a, you know, a report or two or something along those lines, and they essentially do go into a database where that information is stored and something that's used against or again later on. When you take a look at this, is this something that maybe an AI can determine if it was bad data as you're putting it in? I mean, based on, let's say, for instance, you have Joe that works in X section of the factory, and you notice that all of his JSAs are almost exactly the same. Would the AI be intelligent enough to going, this is, seems like a pencil whip or a repetitive action, or are we not there yet?
If it's trained to do that, then yes. Somebody up front has to train that AI model to be able to recognize that type of stuff. But if we train the AI model with bad rhetoric or pencil whipped reports, and it learns to do things that way, then that's what it's going to do. If we train the model to blame the worker every time in our root cause analysis, that's what it's going to do.
And you mentioned something else there as well. So I want to go into this. You said that it might be able to predict what can occur in the future. So you know that the listeners are going to want to know more about this, because then the next thing is going to be like, can we get predictive lottery ticket numbers and along those lines? So, but when you say something like that, how do you envision it being able to do that? Because I almost look at it too as the model of the 329-in-1, where for the longest time we've been told about a pyramid that this is what it would lead to. Are you almost looking at it as exactly that exact same thing, where it could tell us that it, you know, we've had X amount of incidents, so we should be looking at X going forward?
So the thing that I would say, a really good example here is near misses. So we don't collect all the information on near misses that we really should. We miss a ton of them. With better monitoring and better analysis on the back end using AI, we're able to see a lot more of those near misses that we otherwise would have missed ourselves. So using that, if we are collecting more information and we're seeing what's actually happening in the workplace and the AI is trained to recognize the risks, then it's able to accurately or more accurately predict things that could happen, predict injuries, predict incidents of things before they happen, rather than letting a serious injury or fatality happen.
And so as you're seeing this, I mean, and we're at the very beginning stages of this model, as you're looking at it, how far do you think that we are? Like, when you're taking a look at it, what is it able to do as the researchers you've been able to do? Like, what can it do that people would not be expecting currently? Like, when it's giving you these predictions on this could occur, how is it able to tell you that? Like, it's just based on just old data?
It is, yes. And so this is where we run the risk, right? Because safety itself has evolved very much over the past couple of decades. And we've gone from theory to theory to theory and model to model to model on how we collect data. So we can't just feed it everything that we've done in the past. We have to feed it the things that we've done correctly to get it to predict accurately. So we've got a long road ahead of us. The whole point of the presentation that I do is to get people familiar with what AI could do. Because the most important thing I could say is that safety professionals don't need to be AI programmers. There are experts out there that can do that. There are software developers, there are AI programmers out there that can do that. Let them do their jobs. But we need a seat at the table because these things designed specifically for safety can't be created in a vacuum. We have to be able to provide the input and train those models correctly so that the tools that we put into place are going to be useful.
So let me ask that question, because you said a seat at the table, not necessarily that the safety person needs to be a programmer, quote unquote, per se. But as you look at that, how is it determined by the people that assign the seats at the table that we are who would be the accurate person opposed to it being a programmer? Because keep in mind that sometimes too, when we talk to the people that are at that board level, it's when you start talking about safety, if you go into those deep dives, it's almost like speaking a foreign language. So you need to know their foreign language as you walk into that room. So how can you set up that determination for them to be able to go, this is the correct thing on the way that we need to do it, and it not just be a programmer?
I will tell you, I think one of the challenges that came up in this room just now is that we, as a profession, still haven't come to a general consensus on the correct way to go about safety. And that's kind of the challenge that we have to overcome first to be able to tell folks, okay, I need AI to do this correctly for safety. Realistically, though, we're probably at a high theoretical discussion with that. With the basic things that AI can do right now, and I have to emphasize that we are in a very weak form of AI right now. So much of what we think is AI is still science fiction. Skynet's not coming next year.
No Blade Runner or anything along those lines.
It's going to be 100 years from now. So the basic tasks, like I can feed a generative AI, a text-based AI, OSHA 1910, 1926, my company's policy, and then incident investigations, what's happening in the workplace right now. And it can find gaps. It can find the things that we're doing wrong, the things that we should go after to address risk and address hazards and compliance issues.
So when you're saying that we're at the very beginning stages, how long have you been working on this? Like, how long have you been looking into this far?
A year and a half, maybe.
But look at it. I mean, right now, as you're going around talking about this, you're going to be subject matter expert in regards to this because nobody else is really talking about it to the level that you are. But as you're looking at this and you go, okay, we're still infancy stages, where are we 5 years from now basing on the information that you're able to see? And of course, you're seeing information. You're also seeing what other people are attempting to create. What are you seeing that let's say 5 years from now, are we looking at now systems that are able to look at what's going on a work site at any point to go, okay, this is a potential hazard going on in the future?
So aside from what I've already told you, I don't know that I could say exactly what's going to be out there in the next 5 years. What I can tell you is that based on some of the research that I've done in the past 6 months, we know that about 16% of the organizations that I surveyed are using AI for safety already. And another 10% said they're going to be using AI in the next 12 months. So that's a quarter of organizations that I interviewed that said they're going to be using AI for safety in the next 12 months. So that's a lot. What I can also tell you from market research is that in the past, EHS software has been around for maybe a couple decades at this point. It was kind of slow to start. But once people figured out that pen and paper and spreadsheets weren't the way to go anymore, we needed something specialized for safety, that market exploded. Now, it's kind of plateaued right now. It's still continuing to grow, but it's not exploding like it did at first. Based on the demand and the information that's out there for AI and the current level of development, it's going to go in the same way. So in 5 years, I can't tell you exactly what everybody's going to be using, but everybody, or at least a large percentage of organizations out there, will be using AI for safety in the next 5 years.
Okay, so saying the 25% that you reference, do you believe, because this is going to have to be a belief question because we don't have any kind of, you know, empirical periodical data in regards to it, will they be using a large language model in regards to moving forward with it, or what type of quote-unquote AI are you looking at?
So those are the two things right now. Of that 25%, and I don't have it totally delineated to say exactly what they're going to be using, just AI in general, but I can tell you it's probably going to be either computer vision, image and video analysis, or it's going to be a text-based generative AI. And that's really all I predict is going to be there in the next 5 years. There might be some outliers there in the next 5 years, but that's going to be the large majority of the folks that are going to be using it.
So you'll see people trying to run to be able to do a merging of both of those items together then?
There actually is a little bit of merging already. I can tell you of one software or one computer vision developer right now that is also has a co-pilot generative AI attached to it, so that it's not just the image and video analysis, it's now a little bit of the text-based stuff on the back end that it's able to analyze. So really cool stuff.
So as you look at this, do you think that essentially at some point in some of these generative models per se, not the vision aspect, you'll take some of the biggest brains in the industry and they'll implement of, let's say for instance, they have books or white papers that have been written and they'll just dump them in and go, how would X person, X people do this? Is this what we'd be looking at in the future? And then there's kind of a dual part to it. Will this essentially replace our existing safety people?
No, it will not replace existing safety people. And I can tell you from the folks who have been using some of the generative AI models, they've been playing with it, they've been trying to break it, and, you know, asking it for certain outputs based on what we do. You have to think the safety profession is very nuanced. There's things that we do, things that we understand, ways that we go about business that are completely different than a lot of other professions out there. So an AI model that's going to be helpful for safety has to be trained in a very specific way. So we're just not quite there on something that has enough information about our profession to do it that way. We're getting there, and we have people training it, and I can tell you that some of these software developers out there that are designing AI for safety are hiring safety professionals on the back end, not just for customer success, but also to make sure that these are developed in the right way, speaking the right language, and providing the right outputs.
This is kind of amazing just in regards of how much research you've done into this and being able to speak about this. And as you look at it, you're shaking your head over here. So you don't feel like you've done that much research into it?
There is so much that I don't know. I continue to soak in as much information as I can about this because it's really interesting. I think this is the first time that I've ever been on the forefront of market research and watching a specific part of the market explode in front of my eyes. That's super cool. That's why I'm really invested in this. But also, this is going to be a very useful tool. It's not a complete solution. Any type of technology that we put into the workplace is not a complete solution. It's not going to fix all our problems, but it's a tool to help us get there. It's a tool that's going to enhance the human's ability to perform to get us to a better state.
Oh, so you know I'm going to ask the random question. So you are aware that earlier this week, I think it was this week, maybe it was late last week, Tesla announced some humanoids in regards of their releasing. Yes, they do look a lot like the people from iRobot. Do you think they'll play a factor into some of this stuff? I know. I'm going sci-fi. You mentioned sci-fi, so I figure I need to ask this question.
Probably. If you think about it, robots themselves are not AI, but they can have AI on the back end to help them do things and behave more human-like than they were able to do before. There are going to be people in the workplace working side by side with these robots. Actually, as a matter of fact, I can tell you right now that there are workplaces right now where people are working side by side with robots that are run off of AI. And what I would love to do is some research into the comfort level of the workers around those things. To my knowledge, I have not heard of any major significant issues with that, but it's absolutely going to play a part in what we do, but it's not replacing humans. I think one of the things, I think we can probably all agree that there are a lot of dangerous tasks out there that we would love to replace how close humans are to those dangerous tasks. That's something that I see being a more of a replacement. Work is definitely going to change, but humans are not being replaced. We still need people to train AI. We still need people to interpret AI and make decisions based off of the outputs from AI on the back end.
So the oddball question here is, what caused you to want to do research in this? I know you work for a pretty big organization. I don't know if you want me to mention them or not, so I won't. Did they require you to do part of this, or was this something that you were interested on and then you decided to start going down the path?
Yeah, there was some interest there, and that basically put me on a path to go look and see if there was anything relevant here when it came to AI and safety. I had also had the opportunity to talk to a couple of the computer vision vendors about 6 months before that and started to think about, you know, there might be something here. And that's really, but as soon as I got into, I will mention, I took a course on LinkedIn Learning. It's called Introduction to Artificial Intelligence by a guy named Doug Rose. Once I sat through that course and got just this basic elementary level of understanding of artificial intelligence, I was set. Suddenly my brain started firing and I'm thinking, oh, there's all sorts of really cool things that we could do with this. And it's just been since then that this has blossomed into just a mountain of information that I'm not sure if anybody really completely understands, but it's there.
I mean, I'm not sure if anybody's going to understand this for a very hot minute in regards to what's going on, but I look at it from the aspect of you going through and finding out this information. I'm super intrigued in what you have to say and the stuff that you've actually done research-wise, because I look at it from the standpoint of, if this is still infancy stages, where are we going to be? Like I said, 5 years already, but I look at it and I go, okay, if you're saying that you have a very bare minimum understanding of this, the people that are creating this, I can't even imagine they know what they're playing with.
Yeah. You know, I think one of the things that's missing, and I told everybody this during the presentation, I have a block in there that is academic research. And right now, I told them this is the weakest part of my presentation because there just isn't much academic research out there. And that's because academic research takes time. AI has only been an interest in this field for a very short while, so it takes time to put research like that together. But the product is, it should be rigorous, it should be unbiased, and it should tell us with more certainty whether this stuff is working or not. I can tell you there are a handful of very, very minute applications in academic research that are saying, hey, this is working, this could work for a more generalized population. We're just not there. And I think I'm at a point now where me, as an academic researcher, I would love to do more research into the applications and how this is improving outcomes within the workplace for safety.
No, I would love to see your RQs and your modeling for sure on that, because I would just dork out to the whole thing. So let me ask you on a different note here. So now you've been actually the chair for the ACFS for a little over a year, right? If I have my math correct.
Yeah, just about a year.
Okay, so what are you thinking? What's going on? What's the future? What are you looking at to do next with this?
I think we're set up to do some really cool stuff in the future. We've spent the last year really strengthening our partnerships with some of the other local organizations here. I think there's an opportunity to create more of ownership amongst those organizations and create a really strong partnership and a much stronger, more robust safety day. We've got a good number of folks here today. I think we'll continue to grow that attendance and we'll continue to get better speakers here too.
No, I mean, I look at it and I think that this one always has such a different flavor on what's going on. And I mean that in a good way. And I don't mean that in a bad way whatsoever. But you look at it and it I want to say it feels homegrown, if that, but I don't want it to sound insulting at the same time, too, because some people take that the wrong way. It doesn't feel like it's the big corporate sponsorship that, you know, this is the brand that you need to follow. But I look at it from the standpoint of what the local providers do and the people that are here that are really seem to enjoy what's going on with Safety Day. And I mean, I was listening to the speech when we first started off this morning. There's been people that have been to 15 of these things. Mm-hmm. And I mean, and this is a yearly event. So, I mean, I can't imagine the shoes you had when you walked in that you were looking at. These are some pretty big shoes that I had to feel.
Yeah. There are some folks on the board and that meet at these committees the second Tuesday of every month that have a ton of experience with this organization, have a ton of knowledge about how these things should go. The things that I were able to bring to the table, I've worked with some of these smaller organizations in other regions in the nation in the past. There's something very cool about what happens with ACFS here. Are there ways to improve? Absolutely. With any other organization, there's always ways to improve. But you are right. That homegrown aspect is very much a part of this, very much a positive aspect of this. And I think it's super attractive to the safety professionals in the area that are able to take advantage of Safety Day.
I mean, and I have to tell you, in regards of price point, nobody can touch you in regards of what you're bringing to the table. I mean, we're talking food, we're talking the actual meeting itself and the parking, which most places astronomical just on the dues itself, but for what you guys bring. And then I think with the exception of only one year that I recall since I've been coming to this, was it at a different hotel, but this hotel seems to be great in regards to having them partnering with you as well. So do you already have a date for the next one? Or are you still working on it?
I think we're still working on it.
Okay, because sometimes there's that magic of, well, we're not supposed to talk about it, but it might be this date. So if people want to find out more about Safety Day, where do they need to go?
Well, if they want to find more about Safety Day, go to acfs.org. That's where we're going to post all the information. We'll have all the announcements. You can, of course, join the mailing list and make sure you get that information. And if you're really interested in getting involved in making sure that, you know, this day is as great as it needs to be, and if you have some skills, some ideas, some thoughts that you want to share, come to the Children's Safety Village at 8 a.m. second Tuesday of the month. That's where we meet, and that's where all the magic happens.
And then I have one more question. If people want to know about the research that you're doing in this AI stuff, where can they find some of that information?
So you can find some of that information on my portfolio. Actually, there's been a lot of stuff. So the Case for Safety podcast yesterday, an episode came out with myself and Dr. Dan Snyder. We talked a lot about AI and emerging technologies. I also did another episode on there. But anybody can email me. Can I give my email in here?
Of course you can. Whatever you want to do.
My email is matt.law500@gmail.com. Or you can connect with me on LinkedIn. I'm happy to share any of the information that I have and have some bigger discussions about this. But like I said, I don't know if I'm totally the expert here. I've just done a lot of research.
Between you and I, you're definitely the expert. And then between everybody else that's inside of this room and probably the next few hotels over, you are definitely the expert in what's going on. Well, Dr. Law, I appreciate you coming on today.
Thanks, Jay.
The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are those of the host and its guest and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of the company. Examples of analysis discussed within this podcast are only examples. They should not be utilized in the real world as the only solution available, as they are based only on very limited and dated open source information. Assumptions made within this analysis are not reflective of the position of the company. No part of this podcast may be reproduced, stored in a retrieval system, or transmitted in any form or by any means, mechanical, electronic, recording, or otherwise, without prior written permission of the creator of the podcast, Jay Allen.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.